to some of you, whether you're here or watching online, that maybe you've lost a little bit of your spiritual passion. You know, in fact, I'm guessing with all the complications of this COVID season that there may be some of you that maybe at one point in your life, like you found yourself really, really close to God. Like you could sense his voice leading you. You could feel his presence with you. Like you would read the Bible and you would actually feel like God was speaking like directly to you. But somewhere along the way, you feel like you've lost some of your spiritual passion. You lost some enthusiasm. Maybe you lost a little bit of spiritual intimacy along the way. If you find yourself maybe a little bit less enthusiastic about the things of God today than you once were, then this message is for you. And I want to tell you that I understand that struggle. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story. From a very young age, 5, 6 years old, somewhere there, I knew that I wanted to be a preacher. Like I just knew that like that's what I was going to do. And about the time in the sixth grade, and I talked about Gary before, but Gary became our youth minister, Gary Angel, and he always was just encouraging me. And when we were in the Stay Positive series, I was talking about encouragement. I told you that Gary always saw more in me than I saw in myself. And so like he encouraged me to go to Bible college, and my church growing up, they were awesome. Like they had a thing, if you were going to Bible college to go into ministry, they paid for your entire first year of Bible college. Like, yeah, it was great. It was a lot cheaper than it is today. But they did that, and so I got in the ministry to Bible college, and I was fired up. I was learning all these great things about the Bible and really, really interesting stuff and Old Testament and Book of Acts and new. And so I had this passion, and I got a job as a youth minister at a small church in Bracken County, Kentucky. And I love those people to this day. And what I'm going to say is going to sound like I'm talking really bad about them, but it's just people. Like, and so I'm not talking bad about them. But I was passionate, and I was so passionate that right after Jennifer and I got married, when I was 19 years old, by the time I was 20, we moved down to Bracken County, Kentucky. And I was making $150 a week, but I went to school in Cincinnati, and she drove to work in Cincinnati about 85 miles each way. So I said I was passionate. I didn't say I was smart. Like it cost us a lot of money to do ministry there. But I was loving it. The youth group was growing like crazy. When I started there, there was like 6 foster girls, the preacher's kids, and 1 elder's kids. So it was maybe a total of 10 people. But after about a year, we were having 30 kids at youth group. And I was just amazed. Like, God, this is awesome. Like, I'm baptizing kids. Things are amazing. And then I remember I had to go to a board meeting one time. Most of the time they didn't invite me to a board meeting. But I had to go to a board meeting. I got in trouble. And here's why I got in trouble. Because I wasn't singing in the choir. I'm like, for real? Like, you don't even want me to sing. Like, you have no idea. But you're the hired help. Like, you never even told me you wanted me to sing in the choir. But they were mad that I wasn't singing in the choir. And then I said, I got in trouble because I took 30 kids on a camping trip. And it was great. And awesome. I have 2 kids, I remember, they gave their life to Christ and they were baptized while we were on this camping trip. And when I got back, I got in trouble because I forgot to take the proper communion supplies and used Mountain Dew and Twinkies for communion instead. Like 2 people gave their life to Jesus and I'm in trouble because of Mountain Dew and Twinkies. Like then, and I've told this story before, but Pookie, one of my older kids, he gave his testimony one night and was wearing a hat and the whole church blew up because he was on stage with a hat on. And I lost a little bit of enthusiasm. I lost a little bit of passion. But then I got the opportunity to move 12 miles down the road and preach. And I was on fire again. I'm like, this is going to be so great. Like, I love it. I'm going to get to preach, and people are going to get saved, and we're going to create this awesome church environment, kind of like in the Book of Acts, and it's going to be awesome. And the church grew again, and I didn't know what I was doing. Like, these people had way more patience than they did anger toward me. But it grew from about 80 to about 200 people. And there were problems all along the way, and after about 6 years, we were so full that we couldn't fit anybody else in there. And so I met with all of the elders and the deacons and the trustees, and I said, man, God's doing some great things here. Like, we need to do something to make room for more people. Like, we can take out a wall and build on. We can add a second service and reach twice as many people, give people opportunities. We can get rid of the pews and put chairs in, and we'll gain about 30 seats that way. And I was excited when I went into the meeting. And the response pulled it right out of me. They said, Josh, we don't want to grow anymore. We don't want to reach any more people. And so for the next 4 years, my passion was gone. Like, I didn't even want to do ministry anymore. And when I finally decided to leave there, I was off for really about a month between leaving there and starting here at Ken Mundy. And like, I would go on Sunday mornings to two or three different church services. Like, I never got to do that before. So it was great. And somewhere in that month, I started to remember like why I loved the church. Remember why I was doing what I was doing in ministry is because I believe that we have the greatest message in the world and that people are so desperate to hear about this guy named Jesus who died for them that people are desperate to hear that they don't have to live in their guilt and their shame any longer. But I lost some spiritual enthusiasm. And some of you, you're like, man, I know what it's like to lose my spiritual enthusiasm. One time I was on fire for God, and now I'm not anymore. And so I'm calling this sermon tonight called Get Your Passion Back. And we've been in this series, like I said, called Stay Positive. And it's a great time to stay positive, isn't it? Like, with so much negativity, so much bad news, as followers of Christ, we're full of faith. And today I want to talk about that quality of enthusiasm. Now, have you ever noticed there are really two different types of people in the world? There are those who let their circumstances influence their enthusiasm, and then there are those who use their enthusiasm to influence their circumstances. Like, two types of people in the world. Those who let what's going on around them determine their mood, their posture, their perspective, or those who let what's going on inside of them influence the climate around them. And the theme of enthusiasm is one of my favorite themes. And I want to talk about it today. It comes from two Greek words, actually. The word enthusiasm. It comes from the word en, which means in, and theos. And if you've heard of theology, means God. Theology would be the study of God. And theos, enthusiasm, would be in God or to be filled with God. True spiritual enthusiasm isn't something that you work up. It's not a product of your environment, of what's going on around you. It's a posture of your heart and your time with God. It's born in the presence of God by the power of God. In fact, I love what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58. He said this, but thank God. Somebody say that, thank God. Yeah, if you're online, type that in the chat, but thank God. He said, but thank God he gives us victory over sin and death. And I'm going to say that again because I kind of feel like there's some people that are really a little more enthusiastic than you're letting on. But he said, but thank God he gives us victory over sin and death. Again, he does it through our Lord Jesus Christ because of what God has given us. And he said this, he said, dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Work enthusiastically for the Lord, and whatever you do is never done in vain. Here's what I love about this thought, that it's not what you do that makes it meaningful, it's who you do it for. And it's not what you do that makes it meaningful, it's who that you do it for. It's not the thing, it's not the job that makes an action meaningful, but it's the intent of the heart of who you're serving. For example, I try to cook dinner as often as possible. You know, like Jennifer, she's a slave driver. She likes to come home to a meal cooked and on the table when she gets there. Like, and I try, like, she works long, hard days, and after I'm a preacher, I just work 1 hour a week. Like, so the least I could do is cook dinner. Like, but I do, I mean, really, when I do, when I have the opportunity to do that, like, I do it with enthusiasm. I'm in there like Emeril Lagasse, like, bang, and like, we're taking it up a notch. Because I'm doing it for her. Like, this past weekend, they were all out of town. Like, I made me TV dinners and Pop-Tarts. You know, because it's not what you do, but it's who you do it for. Like, when you're doing whatever you do and you're doing it for the Lord, it can transform something mundane into something meaningful. And the best example I have of this is several years ago. I wish I would have recorded this guy, but we were at a Christ in Youth convention in Tennessee. And every night after we get the kids to bed, when we're at CIY, I would always just go out and get something to eat on my own. I've had enough of people. I just needed to be alone. And so one night I remember I went to Taco Bell drive-thru. And this guy in there was unbelievable. Like, I pulled up to the drive-thru and he was like the happiest man I'd ever met on the other end. And he was like rapping a Welcome to Taco Bell song in the microphone. Like, and I took my order and then he sang it back to me. And I was like, dang, I want to hire this guy. Like, he's working at Taco Bell. And I got to the window and this guy was just pouring it on. He was like Michael Jackson taking the money from me. It was amazing. And he rattled off my order again. He gave it to me. He told me to have a great night. And it had such an impact on me that I never eat Taco Bell two nights in a row. But I went back the next night. And the same guy was there. And he was awesome. And he remembered me. And so I went back the next night. Three nights in a row to Taco Bell. But this time I went in and I talked to him. And it was amazing. I found out this guy had lost his job. And he was working at Taco Bell just to be able to pay the bills. He was looking for other work. And I said, why are you so happy? He said, people come through here and they're hungry and they're probably tired. And if they're eating a Taco Bell, they need good food. He said, I just want to cheer them up. I said, yeah, I'm sure, but why really? He said, why? He said, when I lost my job, I was devastated. He said, but then I started thinking that all my life, God's been faithful to me and I'm sure he will be again. He says, I'm here doing what I can do to cheer people up, to make a little money until God shows me what's next. He says, for now, I'm just paying the bills and I thank God for that. Like, who does that? Someone who's been transformed, someone who's been changed. But thanks be to God who delivers us from sin and death. What you do it enthusiastically for the Lord, and whatever you do will not be done in vain. In Theos, in God, you can have spiritual enthusiasm, but you know what? You can lose it as well. And I want to show you tonight a person from the Old Testament. If you've been around the church, you know David. David was a shepherd boy who became king. Like, he was a kid who became a king, and as a king, he was filled with entheos. As a king, somewhere along the way, he lost it. You know, if you know the story of David and Goliath, the Philistine army was at war with the Israelites. And when you're in Samuel, when you're reading that story, it says the Philistine army was on one hill, and the Israelite army was on the other hill. There was nobody in the valley. And what they were doing was they were doing what was called representative combat. And they would say, hey, you send your best guy, we'll send our best guy, and the winner wins the whole war. Like, we'll do it. And this Philistine, they had this massive giant named Goliath. Israelites had nobody. Like, nobody would stand up to the giant. For days and days and days, the giant would come out, and he would ridicule the army, saying, just send somebody out, I'll kill him. And nobody would stand up until this little kid, shepherd boy, most people think probably early teenager, showed up because he was doing what his dad asked him to do, taking bread and cheese to his brothers. He said, why in the world is this happening? And I want to watch you to watch and see his spiritual enthusiasm and confidence in God when he said this in the scriptures. He said to the Philistine, he said, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And Theos. Like, that's not, hey, there's no human confidence at all in there. Like, this is raw, unparalleled spiritual enthusiasm born out of time with God. And the question is, where did he get that? Where did his spiritual enthusiasm come from? When no one else had it. Like, none of the armies of Israel had it. Where do you get it? If you're a guy working at the drive-thru in Taco Bell, or a kid walking into the battle of your life. Three thoughts about where David's enthusiasm came from. First of all, he trusted God daily. Second, he walked with God daily, and he worshiped God daily. And the key word there is daily. He trusted God daily. He walked with God daily. He worshiped God daily. Like, how could he fight a giant? Because in previous days, he trusted God when he was taking care of the sheep and a lion or a bear would come along and try to take them from him. It says about the bear that, like, he grabbed it and smacked it in the face. God gave him the strength to defeat the bear. So he trusted God when it came to the giant. And since he trusted God the day before the battle, he could trust God in that day for the battle ahead. Like, he trusted him daily. He enjoyed his presence. He walked with God daily. He was the one who said this. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He said, "I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me, he guides me, he comforts me. He's always with me. He guides me along the right path, even for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." He trusted God daily, and he walked with God daily, and he worshiped God daily. And when the Ark of the Covenant came into to his hometown where the presence of God dwelled, he went out not fully dressed and went into this massive worship party. It was crazy, like Zach was talking about Asher dancing, and that's what David was doing. It was so much so that his wife was making fun of him. But I can't believe you would do that. You would act like that. And David gives them this line, and I love it. He said, "I'll become even more undignified than that. Like, I'm gonna worship my God." He just couldn't contain himself. And it wasn't just a click on a computer screen once a week to watch a sermon or a drive across town to sit in a church service and sing some songs and listen once a week. It was a daily abiding in the presence of God and worshiping the God that he knew was gonna be faithful to him. There's two seasons in his life, though. One, where he had it, and then when he lost it. If you fast forward a time when David was king, there's another famous story. And the text starts off this way. In the springtime, when kings go off to war. In the springtime, when he should have been at battle, we read that David actually stayed home. And when he wasn't where he was supposed to be, he climbed up onto a roof and he saw something that he should have never seen, a woman taking a bath. And when he wasn't where he was supposed to be and he was doing something that he shouldn't have been doing and he saw something that he shouldn't have saw, it nearly destroyed his life. And it did destroy the lives of many people around him. Many people suffered because of David's sin. And a lot of people lost something they should have never, ever lost. And it all started when he stopped spending time with God daily. And I want to show you the contrast. And I've kind of put it in the bulletin point so you can see it. But I want to show you the difference. As a kid, with enthusiasm, David ran into the battle to serve his God. Then later as a king, with apathy, David walked on the roof to serve himself or his own comfort. How did a man who had so much spiritual enthusiasm as a kid lose it as a king? The answer is he took his eyes off of his calling and he put it on his comfort. My question to you today is, which one best represents you? Which one best represents you? Are you full of entheos, enthusiasm for the things of God? Like, whatever you do, it's not meaningless because it's not about the what, it's all about the who. Or do you find yourself more spiritually comfortable, more complacent? Which one best represents you? Now, are you charging in the battle, knowing that the Lord God is with you? That he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you. Knowing that you've got a divine calling on your life today, daily, every day. Or have you drifted into a more spiritual complacency? My observations, pastorally, like my observations is that most people, in my opinion, have likely fallen into one of two extremes. Especially during this COVID situation. The one very positive extreme are those who are continuing to walk with God daily. Like, they're trusting God daily, and they depend on his presence daily. They're in his word daily, and they're growing in intimacy. And they sense his calling. And they're directed by his presence. And there's a very, very real, very powerful, very present entheos or enthusiasm in them. But tragically, though, there's another extreme. And just based on human nature, what I know about people is that we don't drift toward discipline. Like, we don't drift toward health. We don't drift toward good decisions. We drift toward complacency and we drift toward apathy. We drift toward this self-centered attitude. And unfortunately, when people are disengaged from the physical presence of worshiping God within the community of the church. Like, they may start out at church online for a little while, but then they wane as the weather gets nicer and people start going outside and they start drifting. And suddenly bad habits set in and the good disciplines go away. And rather than being filled with the presence of God, they're filled with fear and doubt and they lose their joy. And they think, where did my purpose go? What am I supposed to do? And once what was a vibrant, passionate calling from God has been replaced by comfort. I just want to be comfortable. Which best represents you? In theos? Calling, passion, purpose, spiritual enthusiasm, or comfort and complacency? Like, David had it and then he lost it. And Nathan the prophet confronted him on his sinfulness. And after the confrontation, David realized how he had fallen away. And he cried out to God in a very powerful psalm in Psalm 51. He said, God, create in me a pure heart. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. That God restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Restore to me, like what do you do when you lose what you had? You refill, you rejoice, you renew, you restore, and you go back to doing what you did before. It's like Jesus told to the believers in Revelation chapter 2:4-5. He said, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. In other words, like, you let it go. You walked away. You didn't just lose it, you left it. You surrendered it. He said, you've forsaken the love you had at first. And then Jesus said this, consider how far you've fallen. For some of you, for just a minute, you might do that. You might consider how far you've fallen. Consider how you've drifted. Consider the intimacy that you once had, that you walked away from. Consider the power of God that was with you. Because his presence never left you. Consider how far you've fallen. And then Jesus said very simply, he said this, repent. Repent, change direction. Change the way that you think and do the things you did at first. Do them again. Like, what do? You walk with his presence daily. You trust his goodness daily. You worship him daily. Listen, not out of duty, but out of delight. Thanks be to God who delivered me from sin and death. God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Like, there are two types of people. There are those who let their circumstances, COVID-19, fear, panic, anxiety, they let that influence their posture, their heart, their own spiritual temperature. And there are those who let their enthusiasm, born out of a very real presence of God, influence their environment. It dictates their mood that's around them, and they build the faith of those that they're with. Two types of people. There are those who walk with God and grow with God and trust God, and he empowers them with spiritual enthusiasm. And then there are those who don't just lose it, but they leave it. Which type are you? If you feel like you've lost it, listen, I understand. I do. Sometimes people will ask me, how do you keep your passion all the time? And my answer is, I don't. Like, it's not natural. Like, hey, you're a pastor. You never have a bad day. No, it's the opposite. Like, I feel like I'm under attack all the time. My faith gets under attack. My mindset gets under attack. Like, I mean, my mood gets under attack. Jennifer would say amen. Like, so what do? I go back to that moment when I realized that we have the greatest message in the world. And I remember what God saved me from and what God saved me for. And I think about who he is and I think about what he did. But thanks be to God who delivered me from sin and death through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then I just go back to doing what I did at first. I spend time with him. I let his word strengthen my soul. I remember that my sin has been forgiven. And it encouraged me out of my discouragement. And it builds my faith. When all I see is fear and I worship him, like not just for what I see, but for who he is. And whatever I do, even if I don't like it, I try to work at it enthusiastically with all my heart. Not doing it for just the person, but doing it for my God. And that transforms something mundane into something meaningful. Whether you're serving and no one sees it, or you're worshiping and everybody knows it, do it for God. But more importantly, do it from God. There's two types of people in the world. Those who let all the stuff on the outside determine what happens on their insides, or those who let the work of Jesus in their hearts impact the world around them. And I don't know about you, but the light that's in me is so bright that there's no darkness that can put it out. Now listen, I have hope we have a church full of people that are ready to let the presence of God penetrate a dark world. And I pray that we see more and more people coming to understand that they don't have to live in that shame, in that guilt, in that regret anymore. That thanks be to God who gave us victory over sin and death through Jesus Christ.
Would you stand with us and sing? so glad that you decided to join us this evening. If you need to pray with someone, need to talk with somebody, come forward, we'll meet you. But you're dismissed.